Now, as a big consumer of leafy greens, I have to say, I have been very bereft walking past my supermarket aisles and the complete lack of leafy greens. What on earth is going on?
Well, you can expect that for the next several weeks because storms and floods have hit the major production areas. So mostly Victoria, but also Tasmania's other vegetables have been hit. And supermarkets will continue to face a national baby leaf shortage for several weeks. About half Australia's salad crops are grown in Gippsland in Victoria, which has been plagued by severe weather, also cold conditions and flooding. Linden, our vegetable grower Andrew Bulmer, says he and neighbouring properties have suffered significant losses.
Yeah, well, just after the recent flood, it sort of knocked out a couple of our plantings that we had in the ground at the moment. And I think for us, we're probably looking at about 50% of our productions missing over the next 6 or 7 weeks.
It's been wet in a lot of places, in fact, Serena.
Yes, it has, but particularly in southern Australia, and paddocks are becoming waterlogged in Victoria in the eastern and southern parts. But the agronomist Dale Gray says that in some spots there's now so much rain, they risk drowning the crops.
If plants are really dry and it rains, they can bounce back to the same as they were. But when plants' root systems are affected by waterlogging, unless they have a really soft finish to the season, sometimes there's permanent damage to those root systems, and you know the yield is never as good as the amount of rainfall suggests it should be.
And unfortunately for those people, it sounds like there's really no end in sight to this.
No, I mean, it's good news if you're a grazier, that's for sure, because the above average rainfall in eastern and northern Australia is set to continue for a further 3 months at least. The Bureau of Meteorology's outlook to October says daytime temperatures are likely to be cooler than average in eastern Australia, but warmer in Tasmania and in Australia's north. And the climatologists look at a number of different systems, but one of the main drivers is the strong negative Indian Ocean dipole, which historically results in high rainfall and cooler days for southern parts of Australia. So more details, actually, if you're very interested, the Bureau of Meteorology does a very good explainer on their website, a video for, you know, all to see, which is great.
Certainly is for all the weather nerds among us, of whom there are many, let's be honest. We know that, Serena. I have to count myself as one of those too.
Yes, probably me too.
And the one thing we know, unfortunately, that also comes with rain is usually a boost in pest numbers. And I understand that's exactly what we're expecting in Western New South Wales again.
Yes, and it's more or less started to build up. So kangaroo numbers in Western New South Wales, and the councils in the area are asking the New South Wales state government to help farmers with getting people in to cull those kangaroos. So the Western Division Council, the president, Lee Byron, says the roos are devastating the crops and pastures.
If we could get that increased or more shooters are allowed out there, that'd be a big improvement. If all of a sudden you're only shooting them on Crown land, where are they going to go? They're going to go onto the farmer's property and just destroy their crops.
Now, you might think, of course, Serena, that a lot of rain would be a good thing out in Western New South Wales, in particular around those Menindee Lakes. We've heard for a long time now about the concerns of the community there, not only farmers and irrigators, but just issues around drinking water for people out of those Menindee Lakes, particularly for Broken Hill. But this rain isn't necessarily doing good things for them either.
Oh, well, in a sense, because it allows a release from the Menindee Lakes of up to 35 gigalitres over the coming weeks. And it'll be along the Darling River in far western New South Wales. But those citrus growers and farmers are concerned about the quality of the water because it's been sitting in the lakes, it's been getting salty and stagnant. And the irrigators of the citrus orchards are worried about a thing called a salt slug, which will take weeks to wash past into the Murray River. But as for the farming families who rely on that water supply, they've been getting water trucked in until now. And part of the reason is there because there's potential staph infection. So Nerida Healy is a Darling River farmer along there. And she said last year, three of her children contracted staph infections from bathing in the river water. And she's due to have a baby next month. And she's concerned that the carted water will stop when flows are released into the lower Darling.
Low quality water will be flowing past our house right when I'm probably going to be bringing home a new baby. So I will really be relying on getting at least another load to get me through to be able to bath the kids before we can rely on some better quality water coming down the river.
Imagine that, eh?
Well, yeah, it's a big problem to have, isn't it? There's not a lot you can do about it either. I guess moving on from some of the wet weather issues, but unfortunately not to really much better news, this idea of another pest, another devastating plant virus that we might be seeing in Australia, making some inroads.
Yeah, so this is it's a complicated virus name, and they shorten it to the cucumber green mottle mosaic virus. It was discovered in a continental cucumber crop near Geraldton in Western Australia, and that's one of the country's main cucumber production zones. It's the very same virus, the mottle mosaic virus, that wiped out melon crops near Katherine in the Northern Territory in 2014. And John Shannon from Vegetables WA says if the disease has spread, it will hit the Geraldton region hard.
Now, down to the other end of the country now, an abattoir in southwest Victoria has signed a 10-year deal to process lambs for the supermarket chain Coles.
Yeah, that's right. So that's how Coles does this, that they tie up an abattoir so that they can get a regular year-round supply. And so it's the Australian Lamb Company says it can now spend $30 million upgrading its abattoir in southwest Victoria. It'll process 1.1 million lambs a year under the contract with Coles. And the managing director of that lamb processor, John Verrill, says his company will also be able to export because there's been booming exports and export prices despite this deal with Coles.
That's our key business, and our business will not be affected. It's business as usual for us. This is an added operation for us. We currently process 1.7 million lambs a year in our own right and export to 69 countries around the world. And Coles will just be an added number on top of that.
We've just seen demand for red meat in Australia and the sale yards particularly, Serena, just going up and up for months on months now, if not years, really. What's that meaning for the livestock feed business?
Yeah, well, that's right. So there's a flow-on effect because around the world there needs to be the grain to feed the livestock. Now, that traditionally can be soybean and canola, which can replace wheat and corn. And so a British economist says the previous demand for biofuels for energy has leveled off, which was, you know, corn, but meat and dairy protein demand is soaring. And so David Jackson, he's from LMC International, said could be the one force that clears the world's record stocks of wheat.
Wheat is at the bottom. The question for everyone, will wheat stay at the bottom of the market? No, it won't. It's impossible. You cannot stay at the bottom forever. You cannot stay at the top of the market forever. Who's going to bring it off the bottom? The answer is you. Growers will lift prices off the bottom. How will you do that? It's because if the price is low enough for long enough, somebody somewhere will stop producing wheat.
That classic old supply and demand thing, Serena,
that's
I guess.
Right.
Yeah. To something now that's been really controversial for a lot of communities, particularly we've seen in Queensland and northern New South Wales, fracking. But some interesting research that there might be a new way of doing this.
That's right, a non-chemical method for fracking for gas. And it's come from the Australian Mining Research Centre. And it's a new water jet technology. It uses only a fraction of the water and it's almost ready to be commercialised. The Australian-based company V2H has already secured contracts for onshore oil and gas exploration. And V2H says its precision enables drillers to stay away from aquifers and other water sources and also not put any chemicals in the system. So that will be interesting to watch. It's actually worth reading the story on our webpage, abc.net.au/rural.
And no doubt some people will be very interested to do just that, I suspect. Now, fish. Everyone loves a good tuna sandwich, if you're like me. But southern bluefin tuna fishermen along the east coast are also enjoying things at the moment, making the most of really booming demand in Japan.
Yeah, so instead of it being aquaculture quotas from South Australia, instead they're being leased out to the east coast longline fishery, so wild-caught tuna, because it's proving more efficient and profitable than the fish farming at the moment. So the CEO of Australian Southern Bluefin Tuna Association, Brian Jeffries, says operators are cashing in on the rejuvenated fishery and also Southeast Asian demand.
The catch on the east coast of Southern Bluefin's gone from 30 tonnes about 3 or 4 years ago to almost 600 tonnes this year. Now, that's a major diversification of the use of the quota from fish farming in South Australia to long lining on the East Coast.
And finally, Serena, to mangoes. Why are we talking about mangoes in the middle of winter?
Well, it's maybe the smell of summer, so it'll be welcome for southerners. But it's come out of the Northern Territory, and the first mangoes of the season have just been picked and packed. Leo Scaleros runs the farm near Darwin, and he's been busy with the early fruit. He expects to sell for over $100 a tray.
Yeah, excited to be mango season again. Had a start this weekend, got off three pallets of KPs. They're all being sent to Brisbane, and we'll be picking some next weekend, which a few might be going down to Sydney and Melbourne.
So we still have a few months to wait for the real mango season to kick in, but isn't that nice?
It is, but I'm relieved that we still have a little bit of time to wait, though. That just would start to freak me out if we
seasonal
could get mangoes
fruit, hey?
All over the place at this time of year. Anyway, thanks so much for that, Serena.
Thank you, Anna.
That's Serena Locke, and you can find out more about all of those rural stories and plenty more online at abc.net.au/rural.